It's time to go full speed ahead with Michael Kelly. Each week, we take you inside all the big sports stories at USF from the perspective of the man who oversees the program, Vice President of Athletics, Michael Kelly. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
Got a few things of note to touch on this particular full speed ahead. We'll probably go in chronological order. We're going to do a lot of anagrams and initials, TGH, BOG, OCS, WINs, we're all over the
all
place.
Kinds of good three-letter words.
That's right. We keep them to three letters here. And, of course, we are going to talk about FAMU and the win against Florida A&M in the football opener. But let's kind of go chronologically. People were hearing from us last Tuesday, and then a couple days later, just dropped a little note, TGH. And we've always had a fantastic relationship with them. And this made it possibly reach a new height. Explain what happened last Thursday.
Yeah, it certainly did. It's really been a gift that's probably been in motion for almost 2 years now, shortly after Mr. Weatherford first challenges for the overall stadium project. And, you know, it was just a long time coming. But you're right, TGH has been a great partner with us already as it relates to obviously the medical school and being our teaching hospital and everything else from a university standpoint. And for many years now, they've been a major athletic sponsor. They've been the sponsor, presenting sponsor of our various football and basketball seasons. But this takes it next level, obviously, to have a philanthropic gift that reaches $25 million total to be able to be a big cornerstone of the philanthropy we need to be able to build the overall on-campus stadium project for us was huge. We'd already had $5 million from Mr. Vinnick, $5 million from the Marsani family, and now to have $25 million from TGH really keeps us right on target for the fundraising we need to continue to build the stadium and the operations complex that we want so much.
Now, the operations complex is going to have probably some nomenclature of TGH upon it. In fact, they're going to be called the Tampa General Hospital Center for Athletic Excellence. I want you to sort of map it out for people without, you know, we're not doing renderings here, but as far as the actual operations center, what are we talking about?
Yeah, as people can picture it, we all know where the IPF is now. Another three letters.
Which we love very much.
But obviously from where the indoor performance facility currently is, and just to the north of that, where there currently is some recreational softball fields, we envision a parking lot and then an operations building, which will house basically everything for football and for lacrosse that will be in that building, you know, weight rooms, meeting rooms, locker rooms, everything you could imagine. TGH will have their name on that. Like you said, we're going to call it the Center for Athletics Excellence. 5,000 or 6,000 square feet of that building will be a facility for TGH that they will, they're currently thinking about putting a lot of their mental health, behavioral health, wellness operations, or at least having experts kind of be able to check in there, which will serve two amazing purposes. It'll serve the campus community a little bit for students, obviously a ton for student athletes, which I get excited about because we all know how important mental health, behavioral health, and wellness is for our student athletes to have the, in sports psychology, to kind of have that edge that we all talk about a lot on this program, to now I think really be in position to have the very best experts in this region, all being provided by TGH and USF Health will be just unbelievable for them. But then also still being able to have a component that the Tampa Bay community can reach for those same services coming into the building that we're going to see here at USF each and every day, reinforce the brand, reinforce the athletics excellence, and just be able to serve a very huge need for health here in the behavioral health and mental health here in the Tampa Bay area. So it's truly a win-win. They support us to a level that we've never had a gift this large before. It helps us finish our vision for the athletics district and to build, make this building a reality. And then obviously it also is going to help them and help all of us serve the overall health of the community, which is, again, it's a rare win-win opportunity in this situation.
Well, you definitely answered the one question as far as the operations center. It is going to be a big center. It's not just going to be a few coaches' offices out there, although their area here is good right now, but it's going to be great. And then can I ask about the timeline? Does it roughly match up with the on-campus stadium?
Yeah,
or we know yet?
Yeah, it should match up very close to that, or maybe even be a little bit ahead of the schedule of the stadium itself. We just have to see how it kind of comes together as we continue to do our design work on this. But as I said, and I've said many times, this is going to create what I think is going to be the finest athletics district in college sports. And when you think about a stadium, an indoor, an operations building, just from a football standpoint, being all connected like that, very few schools have that, really, in the country. Certainly from a lacrosse standpoint, hardly anyone has that, so they'll be far, far ahead of everyone as well. But when you complete that athletic district, it is one other benefit that TGH gets with this gift is the opportunity they're going to basically the forevermore it'll be known as the TGH USF Athletics District. And so when you kind of come on Bull Run and come here on on the road here, you'll kind of see signage that will be dedicated to that to kind of reinforce that message as well. So they've stepped up in a big way, and that's why my quote last week really meant that, hey, they just bought into the full vision, not only to serve our student-athletes from a health standpoint, but to help make our vision for the future a reality.
And one other thing, just you said best in the country, which is I'm envisioning it, but maybe just another suggestion to just take it over the top, like a shuttle for broadcasters or whoever the like to get from one building to the next and make it covered in case it's raining.
We just don't want you to get wet even from your closest walk. But you can still jog from the Selman to the indoor.
It's not that far. It really isn't that far. So even if
you just have to run from Selman to Porter and then you're good for the rest of the way.
I can do it. I've done it. Now, even if that was the only off the field, although it's going to affect on the field news of last week, that would have been a perfectly great week. But then Friday, as I joked on social media, this is the best Friday night and Friday afternoon news dump, because if guys aren't familiar with journalism, sometimes when there's a bad bit of news, you know, teams will try and slide it under the rug at like 4:59 on Friday when everyone's getting out into the weekend. And roughly around the same time, we learned officially that the Florida Board of Governors has approved the school's plan for the new on-campus stadium. Kind of a big bit of news.
Yeah, it was a huge next step for us. Obviously, the way the public colleges of Florida are governed has, you know, 12 different public schools all kind of report up through the Board of Governors. And so even though we had passed the test for our local Board of Trustees here at USF, any project that borrows money or anything that goes on like that does need to get the formal approval of the Florida Board of Governors. So we were able to get that done. We were hoping to get that done a week before the storm kind of delayed that. It was going to be an in-person meeting in Gainesville. It then became an online meeting that took place last Friday. And not surprisingly, you know, the only people that can really speak on your behalf in that meeting are the president and or the chairman. In our case, the chairman, Will Weatherford, was the person that that gave us the vision for that and obviously helped deliver that great news. And ironically, because of the delay, the day, it was September 8th, 2 years ago, when he first gave us the goal of building the stadium. And on September the 8th, we got a major next milestone step for the Board of Governors to approve the financing plan. So we'll look for some other great things that happen next September 8th.
I know.
I'll have to check the schedule for 26 and 27 for what the actual game dates are. So
that's a good day to remember. Now, I got to ask, and people are thinking it, if I'm thinking it, how did you find out? Were you like zoned in on the meeting? Will text you? Okay.
No, we were totally zoned in on the meeting. I think everyone on the president's cabinet and certainly myself and Jay Stroman were watching intently on that, as I know many of our fans were. You know, there's a link on that are watching it. And in fact, there was a little bit of a premature celebration because it had to pass a committee first, and we passed that, and then they still needed to wait for the full board about an hour and a half later. That was when the full formal approval. But it was unanimous. That just proves that the plan is good. That was solid, and it certainly speaks to the leadership of Will Weatherford, who was able to explain his vision, be able to show what we've done as a university, and to bring it home.
So September 8th is heretofore known as Will Weatherford Day around these parts.
Very well should be.
And then, September 9th was a pretty good day for the football squad. Got to see, first of all, I thought an excellent turnout. Beginning with my first experience with the Stampede, we talked about it last week with the bus arriving. Normally I'm getting ready to go on air, but we decided to see if we could make it sound good, and I think it did with the bus arriving, not just with Coach Golish giving me some time, but the band in the background, and there were way more people than I expected. It was tremendous, and so listen, if you're a Bulls fan, especially maybe this week, get there early because people show up and show out for that team. And I could tell you from being in the middle of it, they feel that love, and there was a lot of good interaction there too.
I agree with you. It was really good energy, and I know that Stampede route is something that we had in the past, and many, many loved it, and certainly to go back to it was the right thing to do, especially if people are going to come out like that and have that energy. So I agree. I think it's one of the coolest things. Granted, you have to be there 2 hours and 15 minutes before game time to be able to capture it, but it's worth every minute, especially if you're going to come out and tailgate anyways. You just kind of take a quick break from your tailgate in the lot. You come over to the pathway, which is really nicely marked already. Feel the energy of the band and everybody kind of coming down, and I agree. I think the guys had a great time. It was great support, and glad it could come together. And I'll tell you, it leads into the pageantry of what we do. And I know some of our fans maybe just go straight in the stadium, some tailgate for the 5 hours we make available to them. The other thing I think that's really underrated is the road show. That thing when our hot band and our and our all-girl cheer, our co-ed cheer, our Sundolls, and everyone's out there together doing the routines. It's kind of the right note. It's kind of almost a warning to go back into the stadium at the time. But it's a great show. It really brings together great school spirit, and I think it was another great turnout there for that as well. I was impressed.
And I was able to pass on actually tailgating, just so you know, because I was getting ready to go on air. But I did notice for sure, didn't know this, that Lalo Prado has a cigar lounge, I mean, which was just hilarious and, of course, makes all the sense in the world. Now, as far as the game itself.
And then there's the Kelly Irish Pub in Lot 6, too. The sign is there. I'm very proud of the South Side tailgate group. That's right.
I got to mark that down. What lot was that again?
Lot 6.
Okay,
lot
maybe
six.
If I show up a little sooner this time. Yeah. Now, as far as the game, speaking of showing up, it was tremendous to watch. And, you know, after a little bit of Florida A&M's here to play beginning, the Bulls offense and the defense forcing five turnovers come to play. And I thought the crowd was really engaged throughout. I thought it was a tremendous, and again, credit to the opponent. Maybe people think the Bulls should have won more easily, but first of all, I think that's disrespectful to Florida A&M. They're really good. And, hey, a win at this point is a win no matter what. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a great atmosphere during the game. I do appreciate the fans coming out. I thought the students had a great turnout as well, which is good to see for the first the opening game, which we always love to have. And you're right, Florida A&M hasn't won 10 games by mistake.
Yeah.
They've got a winning mentality, and they're doing really well. So we made a lot of great plays, had some penalties that are making it hard on us, but a great victory and a great moment.
And one thing I also failed to mention as I was talking to Coach Golish, his whole family being there, you know, you get to see some of the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A true family man, and I know it meant a lot to his father. I mean, without getting too emotional, he was pretty emotional, and we got to see some of the, you know, on-the-field emotion stuff, too. I got to see him for the first time, you know, have that one-on-one conversation with the referee. So we saw everything on display, and, of course, his great offense as well.
Yeah, obviously it's a huge milestone for a coach to reach being a head coach at Division I college football, and so this is a special moment for Alex and for he and his family to have their home opener there, and him to have all the people that are so important in his life to be there was great to see, and just an honor to see his team deliver a victory, and we provided him with the game ball in the locker room afterwards, and one of many, many, many more to come, I'm sure.
Well, what has it been like being the athletic director when I'm talking about this next game? Because the first question, of course, that comes to mind is how many tickets are you being hit up for? But what kind of response are you getting from Bulls Nation? I mean, just being where my office is, it's been the last couple weeks. I sit next to the ticket reps, and they're just constantly on the phone, and it seems like not every other conversation, 9 out of every 10 is about this game.
Yeah.
The anticipation has got to be as great as I can think of for a non-Warren I-4 perhaps in a while.
Yeah, let's face it. This is one of the most storied programs in all of college football historically. Have them we've played them before, but never before here in Tampa. And so for us to have gotten this deal, I think they've played 4 true non-conference road games in like the last 15 years. And for Tampa to be one of them is again, a testament to us and just a great opportunity for us to, again, to experience it. And we know how formidable their team is, but obviously they do things the right way. It's a great test for our players. Our players kind of love to play a game like this to see what's going to happen. Our fans, being not only our diehard USF fans, are going to be there, I'm sure, but for the Tampa Bay community, just out of being the pro market that we are and to have the curiosity of having a storied program like this, that's why I think people will respond in Tampa Bay as well and get out there and support the Bulls and come out here and have a great game. But it's awesome. My colleagues around the country are like, Alabama's coming to you guys? And it's like, yeah, they are. It's really cool.
Got the same response from my next-door neighbor, Mark, who kind of knows. He works at TPC, and there's some USF events out there every now and then. He's always got like, he knows what my job is. And I said, yeah, big game next week. He's like, wait, they're coming here? And yes, Mark, they are. And I think they're not going to be alone. It's going to be, I'm sure, a lot of Alabama fans there, but a ton of Bulls fans. Can we be prepared for some red in the stands, not just the red seats?
Oh, I'm sure there'll be a lot of Alabama fans, no question. But, again, we're currently sitting at like 60,000 sold, less than 5,000 seats available. We hope to get the rest of them sold in the next couple of days. So please come on out, enjoy a great day. Let's support the Bulls, and you get to see, obviously, one of the most storied programs in college football.
You know, as we will flip it to a similar situation when it comes to what else is going on, and it was Friday night, men's soccer playing a team that has won 8 national championships, Indiana.
That's right.
Speaking of red in the stands, And I was so impressed. They traveled probably about 50 or it seemed like 50 or 60 fans. And it's not like they were playing another game in Florida. Their next game is a week away back in Bloomington. So there was that environment going on. And we knew that the guys had a tough schedule and hadn't got that first goal yet. But once they got it, I even talked to a couple of the guys today, captains on the team. There was that pressure just being let off the team, and they just shut them down the rest of the way. What a win against that team.
Yeah, I was really impressed. I knew it's always hard psychologically until you can get that goal and get it off your back. But our guys played with a lot of heart and played very confidently and you know, truly looked like the better team, not just in winning that game, which I was very impressed with. And now a huge opportunity to be able to play Clemson, who hasn't won 8 national championships, but they have won 3 and won 2 years ago. So another great test. And again, for our soccer fans and soccer community to come out, and I encourage them to come out here and support the Bulls against Clemson. And then obviously our women start to have had a hard non-conference schedule as well, but now they get the chance to start conference play here with Temple on Thursday. So things are all we do these for is to give special opportunities for our players, for our fans in the non-conference play. Hopefully bolster our rankings, our strength of schedules, and then it all means how do you get ready for the American and be ready to go to play.
So that is actually tonight, the Bulls against Clemson. If you can't make it, we'll have the call on the radio side on Bulls Unlimited. And the interview I was alluding to, I'm sure you watched it millions of times already, the new coaches show, Bullseye. I'll be talking to Nick Scargill and Sergio Pinheiros Mayorga for that show, and they're tremendous. They have a great side story. That was fun, by the way, and another use that you didn't think of, I'm sure, for the IPF. But as I'm sitting there with BJ Daniels and Kaylee Cottrell and the coach and just looking around going, this is a multi-use building, but it was fun. And for those of you guys who didn't see it, every Thursday, Bulls Beat Ahead on Tuesday, every Thursday is a new Bullseye show. And another example of how Coach Golish is very giving of his time as well. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, the Bullseye show. I thought it was good. I applauded you guys for the first effort of that for this year. I thought it was fun and different. And you're right. The IPF opens up new doors for us each and every day.
Excellent. And then women's soccer, you just alluded to, will finally be back at home next week for an actual nice little home stretch of their schedule. Last week, they dropped 13 goals on Florida College. They're back to conference, which is, again, it's been kind of a tough start for them overall record-wise, but I think they're going to fare well in the conference. And the men's soccer team, what a league they have. But they still got a couple of difficult games until then. All right, any other, do you want to give us a hint at any other major news between now and Bama, or are you just going to keep it tight-lipped and see what happens?
Well, what I really want us to focus on now is just coming out and have a great crowd with Alabama coming to town this week, and then our conference opener, which we'll talk more about next week for the Rice Owls coming into town. We got to make sure we show well and give our guys the best support possible when we open conference play here in just a couple weeks. And it's going to be a 4 o'clock game. We've learned that as well. So plenty of good tailgating opportunities for the next 2 weeks to get out there and enjoy the fellowship, and then head on in and support those Bulls.
And we enjoy talking about everything that takes place. And there's a lot going on, obviously, in South Florida athletics. With you, Michael Kelly, thanks for going Bulls Beat Ahead.
Thank you. Go Bulls.
If you want to stay in the know on South Florida athletics, we've got a pretty good inside source. Initials, MK.
Horns up, everybody.
Go Bulls Speed Ahead with Michael Kelly, with new episodes dropping each Tuesday right here.
I lay it out so you can play it out.